Evening. If you have your Bibles tonight, if you could turn to Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter number 11. And we begin reading in verse number 5. I'll read verse number 1 just for context, and then we'll jump down to verse number 5. The Bible says in verse number 1, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And then verse number 5, and he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he with all shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this evening. Thank you so much for giving us the grace, the mercy to be alive, to be here tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would teach us from your word, that you would instruct us. Lord, that you would help us to truly understand what privilege it is that we do have as Christians to pray. And Father, I pray that you would just hide me behind the cross of Christ. I pray that everything that is said tonight would be pleasing and honoring to you. And Lord, I pray that at the end of it all tonight, that you would be lifted up and that your name might be glorified. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get into the message, if I could ask anything for you, it would be simply to pray for our country. Just on a daily basis, if you look at our country, there's just so much division. There's so much disrespect for authority. And God commands us Christians to pray for our authorities and hold them before the Lord. And if you could remember one thing tonight to pray for, is to pray for our country. And, you know, I may be young, 25 years old, but honestly, I feel we're living in the last days, just being honest with you. And it's amazing just the shift since I've been a young adult, you know, now for 5 years. It's just amazing just seeing the shift that our country is going in. And I'm afraid that if our country keeps going the way that it's going, the end is soon. The end is soon. So if you can keep that in your prayers as well. And then another thing to pray for is pray for my wife. The baby is expanding and growing at a fast rate now. And she's really petite. So there's a lot that has to be stretched, if you know what I mean. So just pray for her. She's dealing with a lot of cramping and a lot of soreness and a lot of fatigue now. So if you can remember her in your prayers as well. So we come to this passage in Luke chapter number 11, and we're going to pull out this word, importunity. And as Pastor Andrew was preaching last week, my mind just kept going to this importunity, and I found out I was preaching on, Mr. Shire told me that I was preaching this tonight, and I was like, what better way to continue on? And God let me here as well, just continue on learning about prayer and what prayer means. So we're going to break down this word importunity, and then we're going to bring out some applications as far as this passage is concerned, and then really honestly just want to challenge you guys in the area of prayer tonight. So we come to the word importunity, and it's mentioned in the verse number 8, and this is the only place in the Bible that it is mentioned. And for context, I'll read it again. It says, "I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." And so when I went to Bible college, I learned a little bit of Greek. And this Greek word for importunity is anadeia. And this Greek word simply means shamelessness, persistence, or coming to the point of begging. And so this meaning means that you don't have any shame, that you're without embarrassment. It is unembarrassed boldness. We all know the verse in Hebrews, verse 4 and 16. Chapter number 4, verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So God gives us this opportunity to come to him boldly because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. One man in his commentary said, described the word importunity as this. He said, "Shamelessness, persisting in the face of all that seemed reasonable, refusing to take a denial." And the question I have for you tonight is that, does that describe your prayer life? Does the word importunity describe your prayer life? Are you constantly seeking, constantly praying, constantly asking God for whatever it may be? I read the book Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, and it was just amazing just to see his life and how his life was changed after his wife had died. And I mean, he was just so crushed, so heartbroken that his wife had died. And he described this word importunity as this. He said, if you can imagine yourself walking up these stairs and you go to the apartment of God, so to speak, and you hear God on the other side, and you can hear everything that he's doing, he's moving around in the apartment, and you're left outside, and you're knocking on the door. And he said, you knock one time, there's no answer. Knock two times, there's no answer. He said, you just keep knocking out of desperation. He said, then finally, God opens the door and answers your prayer and consoles you, and he's there for you. And just being honest with you, that's how it is a lot of times when we do pray. I mean, we just have to keep knocking and knocking and knocking. And then we ask ourselves the question, God, is it worth it to keep praying? God, is it worth it? When are you going to deliver me? And then as soon as we get to the end of ourselves, get to that point of desperation, get to that point of about to give up, then that's when God opens the door, consoles us, helps us all along the way. So we're going to break down this verse, and just to get a little context of what's going on here. Verse number one, we read that it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And as I was studying for this, I just try to put myself in the position of those 12 disciples. I mean, looking at the Savior of the world pray to his Father. I mean, can you imagine what that must have been like hearing Jesus pray? Hearing Jesus cry out to God for different things. Hearing Jesus cry out to God for his needs. And these disciples did not ask him, Jesus, teach us to preach, teach us to cast out devils. They said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And I mean, that communication with God was so important to Jesus. We read all throughout scripture that he rose up early to pray. He went apart to pray. He went to the mountainside to pray. All throughout Jesus' life, we see this aspect of prayer. This aspect of fervent prayer. Verse number two, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I remember growing up, I heard this a lot. One of our football teammates would pray this before every game. And just being honest with you, this is the first time I heard it was probably in seventh grade, just the Lord's Prayer. And he kept reciting it before every game. And, you know, I thought, honestly, man, that's the Lord's Prayer. That's how God wants us to pray. But when I became a Christian, I learned that praying was much more than reciting this prayer. Prayer is much more than just going through what the scripture is saying here. Prayer is actually communicating with the God of the universe. And when I went from this basic prayer to actually pouring my heart out to God and actually praying and communicating with God, it was just such a difference. There was such a level of relationship. There was such a level of communication that God was having with me on a one-on-one basis. And if I could challenge you with anything tonight, it's simply communicating with the God of the universe is one of the greatest privileges in all of the world. I mean, I've been a part of a lot of things in my life. I had the opportunity to go to the Grammys, see all these actresses and actors. I had the opportunity to meet athletes. But I tell you, nothing is compared to communicating with God every single morning. I mean, it doesn't get old. And then having the opportunity not only to talk to God in the morning, but all throughout the day, it is an awesome opportunity that the Christian has. So these disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us what it means to pray. And the question I had as I was looking at this verse was this. What is Jesus going to teach them about prayer? What important aspect of prayer is Jesus going to teach them to his disciples? And we come to verse number 5, and he said unto them and began to tell them the story of how this man's importunity or his shamelessness, his persistence in prayer. And ask myself the question, why did Jesus teach them this aspect about prayer? Why didn't he teach them something else? What's so important about being shameless? What's so important about being persistent? What's so important about begging? What's so important about coming to God with this unashamed boldness? And so we're going to get into that tonight. So if you're taking notes tonight, write down number one, the perplexing situation, the perplexing situation. So Jesus gives a parable to help us understand exactly what he is trying to convey, the thought he's trying to convey. So he says this man is basically, this man is in need of three loaves. This man has nothing. His cupboards were empty. And so we can conclude that this man was desperate. There was nowhere to turn. He was going to face an embarrassing situation. And so you may ask me the question, how is he going to face an embarrassing situation? Basically, during that day, just background and context during that day, if a visitor was coming to your house, you wanted to have food prepared for that visitor. You wanted to have something prepared for that visitor to eat. And so this man had a friend coming from a long way, and no doubt he was hungry, and no doubt he wanted to provide something for this friend. But he had nothing. The markets were closed. It was midnight, and he needed help. He was in desperation. And so before we get into a little bit of the message, the heart of the message, I want to say this, that every day should be that way. That we should every day be at that point of emptiness and having nothing. And out of desperation, crying out to God and saying, God, if you don't provide it, God, if you don't do something, I'm not going to have it. So this gentleman was in this perplexing situation. He needed these three loaves. He had nothing. He had nowhere to turn. And that leads us to our second point, this proposed solution. He thought he had the idea of asking a friend. Verse number 6, for a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing set before me. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And so he went to his friend in verse number 5. He says, friend, lend me three loaves. And I would say tonight that asking is always the solution. Prayer is always the solution. He could have stayed in his house and did nothing. He could have stayed in that predicament or that situation and not asked his friend and faced that embarrassing situation. And another thing that I wanted to point out tonight was he called him friend. In verse number 5, he said, friend, lend me three loaves. And so that friend denotes a relationship. The man that he knew to ask. He wasn't asking some stranger or someone on the street. He was asking someone that he knew. He knew the person's address. He knew how to get to the person and so on and so forth. And I just thought about this. Isn't that like us as Christians? We know where to ask. We know God's address. And we know the only person that will be able to help us. Thirdly, we see this petition stifled. This man, verse number 7, it says, and he within shall answer, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give thee. So if you were to put yourself in this situation, or you put yourself in this narrative, or put yourself in this setting, most likely this man was at the window, based upon the context, the door is now shut, and he's lying in bed with his children, as the custom was of the day. And so this man was no doubt at the window, knocking on the window and basically annoying this guy as this guy was trying to go to sleep. And, you know, just being honest with you, I can kind of understand the children here, how they are just fast asleep. I mean, they're just dead tired, just knocked out. And I mean, nothing is fazing them. But this man doesn't want his children to wake up. And so this man says, I can't do anything. He says, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And I picture his children all laying on him, and he's basically saying in his mind, man, if I get up, I'm going to wake my children up if I get up to help you. And so this man's petition is stifled or suppressed. And I mean, that's an issue, is it not? This man has a friend that's came over for a far journey. He needs bread. He needs three loaves. And the person that he goes to basically says, hey, you know what? I can't help you. I'm in bed, the door's shut, leave me alone, so to speak. But then we come to verse number 9, verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. So fourthly tonight, if you're taking notes, we see the persistent supplication. This man is just asking and asking and asking, begging and begging and begging for his friend to give him those three loaves. And then lastly, you see this plea supplied. This plea supplied. This man rose and he gave him as much as he needed. In the latter part of verse 8, it says, "Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed." So the question tonight is, what are you desperately seeking God for? Do you really believe that prayer can change a situation? Do you really believe that? One man said this. He said, "Prayer is the most essential thing found in the Bible, along with faith in God." He says, "In fact, some have maintained that it is true without faith, it's impossible to please God. But the only way we know where real faith is to see where there is prayer." This is at the very foundation of Christianity, that God is a prayer answering God. And we don't have to give up and just give in to fear or give in to hopelessness. We can bring our hopeless situations to God. And God says, "This is how I will glorify my name. When you call, I will answer. And then people will see how great of a God I am to my people." So if we were to ask ourselves, does God answer prayer? We'll answer yes. Does God work miracles? We'll answer yes. Does God strengthen our faith through our prayers? We'll answer yes. But the question is, do you truly believe that? And if you truly believe that, you will be praying like you'll believe that. You know, I've been in different situations where I was desperate for God's help. I've been in different situations where there was nowhere to turn but God. And the thing that kept me going was that importunity. Just kept asking God, just kept knocking. Just kept asking God, just kept knocking. And I mean, just being honest with you, there was times where I was just discouraged and I asked myself, "God, is it worth it? I mean, God, why aren't you answering my prayers? God, where are you?" And he just kept telling me, "Jeremiah, just keep knocking. I'm going to answer. Just keep knocking. Just keep praying." There was times where my school bill wasn't paid, or I had a school bill coming up. I passed the deadline of when my school bill was need to be paid. And I remember just in my room just praying like, "God, you have to do something." The faculty is on my back. They're like, "Hey, if you don't pay your bill, you're going to have to get out of here." And I'm just telling them, like, "I believe God's going to provide. I know he is." And they say, "Hey, we just don't see it. If you don't have the money in a week, we're going to have to send you home." And I remember just fasting and praying and asking God just to supply and to meet my needs. And you know what? God didn't supply. God didn't meet my needs. I went that whole summer and just kept praying, just kept asking, just kept praying, just kept asking. And it wasn't until I stepped foot on that campus that I got to that office and found out my bill was paid. And now I ask myself the question, "God, why did you allow me to wait all that time? After a summer of neighborhood Bible time, after a summer of giving myself to him, giving myself to evangelism, giving myself to all this, God, why did you wait to then?" And he told me, through the Holy Spirit, of course, "I was just trying to grow you. I was just trying to grow your faith." And I tell you, that was so monumental in my life as far as trusting God. I mean, I remember the faculty and staff, they're saying, "Hey, you got to go home." And I'm like, "Just let me stay here for a little while. You know, God's going to provide." And at the end of that summer, I was able to share with them how God provided for me and how God was faithful to me. So we all come to that place where we're desperate and we're asking God to do the miraculous. And so tonight we're going to look at examples of desperate prayers that we might pray. Number one, we may be desperate for mercy. Desperate for mercy. Do you guys remember, in Psalm 51, after Nathanael came to David and exposed him of his sin, and then David rent his clothes, and David wept sore before the Lord, and David repented of his sin. And we come to verse 51, come to chapter number 51 of Psalm 51, and David said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies." He says, "Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." And all of us as human beings, we get to the place where we're desperate for God's mercy. I mean, we may mess up in an area or we may fail in an area. We need God's mercy. And we're just simply crying out, God, give me your mercy. Be merciful to me, thy servant. I mean, all of us have been in that situation where we don't know where to go or where to turn. And we just need God's mercy in that situation. Number two, we may be desperate for healing. Desperate for healing. And I mean, just being honest with you, here in America, we face this a lot. Health situations. Do you guys remember in Isaiah when you have Hezekiah and he had this unexplained sickness and then Isaiah came to him and told him how he was going to die soon? And verse picking up in verse number chapter number 38 of Isaiah, it says in verse number 1, in those days when Hezekiah was sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Verse number 2, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in the truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore, and the word of the Lord came unto Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. So we see the Lord answer Hezekiah's prayer for his desperate need for healing. And I would say to you that if you're in a position tonight, or you know a family member tonight that needs physical or spiritual healing, God is there and God is able to answer that prayer. Are you desperate for healing tonight? Know that God is there and he's able to answer your prayer. Number three, being desperate for a child. Maybe you're barren tonight and you want a child. 1 Samuel 1, verse 5, but Hannah, he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. And the Bible says this of Hannah, so she arose up after they had eaten and after they had drunk. It says, now Eli the priest sat upon the seat of the post of the temple of the Lord. But she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me, forget not thine handmaid, but will go and will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured my soul out before the Lord. It says, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. And so the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they arose up the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house and to Ramah. And Elkanah, who knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remember her. And in verse number 20, wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and she called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. So we see here this miracle in 1 Samuel. We have this woman, Hannah, praying unto God, pouring her soul out unto the Lord. Eli comes to her, thinks that she's drunk. And I mean, she's just in travail of prayer. She's just pouring her heart out to God. And then, you know, just being honest with you, do you guys remember just being there at times where no one understands what's going on in your heart? People think you're crazy that you're praying. And I mean, you're just set apart and you're just crying and you're just pouring your heart out to the Lord. I mean, you're just giving it everything that you got. And just being honest with you, I find myself there almost on a weekly basis, just pouring my heart out to God, asking him to hear my petition. And then to think that this great God of the universe that created everything that we see, he's going to listen to my prayer. Amen. He's going to listen to me groan. He's going to listen to me cry. He's going to listen to me weep. He's going to listen to me cry out to him, because that's how good of a God that he is. And then going a step further, if you think about how many Christians on the face of this planet are crying out to him at the same time, yet God has his ear to you as you're praying, as you're having your petitions being met by him. So first of all, we see that we can pray for desperate things. When we're desperate for mercy. Number two, when we're desperate for healing. Number three, if we're desperate for a child. And really quick on that note, Messi and I, we're praying for a child. And, you know, just being honest with you, we're just asking the Lord for the right timing for a child. And I remember the Wednesday before she found out she was pregnant on a Saturday. That Wednesday, we're praying and fasting that God would give us a child. And then that Wednesday, it was like 6:30 in the morning. She woke me up, and then she had like this bright smile on her face. And I was like, oh. And then she was like, I got something to tell you. And then I was like, okay, what is it? And so she told me that, you know, she was pregnant and whatnot. And I remember just in such disbelief, that God would allow me to be a parent and whatnot. But as well, it was just so amazing to see God answer prayer and to hear our petitions and to just see him be so good in that area of our life. It was just amazing to see that. Then we come to four. When we're desperate for wisdom and we're praying and asking God for wisdom, we understand and know that God is able to give us that wisdom. Do you guys remember Solomon, when Solomon asked God for wisdom? In 1 Kings chapter number 3, the Bible says in verse number 9, "Give thee therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. In verse number 11, "And God said unto him, Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked thyself for long life, neither hast riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment." In James 1:5, the Bible says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him." So if you find yourself in a place where you need God's divine wisdom, God's divine direction, know that God is there for you. Know that God is able to meet that need, to give you that wisdom, to give you that direction that you need. Number five, if you find yourself desperate for intercession, and I thought about this a lot, maybe you have a wayward son, or maybe you have a wayward family member, or maybe you have someone that is away from the Lord or not saved, and you need to intercede on their behalf. Know that you can be desperate in prayer for that. Do you guys remember Moses and the children of Israel, how God said that he was going to destroy the children of Israel, but he said that he didn't because of the prayer of Moses? And I thought about in my life how many people had interceded for me. When I was away from the Lord, when I didn't want anything to do with the Lord, how many people were desperate in intercession that I would come to the Lord, that I would come to know him? And you know, just being honest with you, I feel like, we're not desperate for intercession like we should be. We're not desperate to see the lost saved like we should be. We're not desperate to pray for the lost as we should be. You know, just being honest with you, there's a lot of individuals in this world today that have not even heard of the first coming of Jesus Christ. I mean, there are people that we meet on a daily basis here in America, and we have the statement, "In God we trust," but they have no idea who God is. They're stuck in traditionalism. They're stuck in all these different things. And the only person that they're going to follow is anyone who names the name of God. And we know that if you were to shake down a lot of what these preachers and shysters are teaching nowadays, it's not the truth. And they are following that man wholeheartedly and not once ever hearing about salvation. I remember talking to a woman, and we basically shared to her the gospel. I remember her talking about, going to church, and, you know, she's been going to church ever since she was a little kid. But for the first time in her life, she heard the gospel. for the first time, she's going to church. She said, I never missed a Sunday. But for the first time in her life, she heard the gospel. And honestly, I just say shame on us. We're supposed to be the church. We're supposed to be the lighthouse. We're supposed to be sharing the gospel to this lost and dying world. But just being honest with you, there's individuals, there are preachers who get up and they share opinions, they preach politics, but they don't preach Christ. And if you're to preach one thing in your life, or if one thing that you preach ought to be important in your life, then that's the gospel. That's the most important thing that you ought to preach. You know, it's sad to say that we'll send a missionary over to a foreign country to reach a foreign people that don't have the gospel. But we don't go across the street and reach our neighbors, reach our classmates, reach people near us that don't know the gospel. But we'll send money overseas. And I say shame on us for that. Amen. There are people groups here that have never even heard of Christ that need to be reached, that we need to do something about, and that we need to be praying for, that we would make an impact in their life. So Moses interceded on behalf of the children of Israel that God was, because God was going to destroy him, but Moses interceded on their behalf, and God did not destroy them because of the prayer of Moses. Number six, we come to being desperate for a miracle. Are you desperate for a miracle tonight? I mean, do you need God to work something out in your life? Do you guys remember Daniel in the lion's den, how those men came to King Darius and they said, King Darius, make a decree. If anybody prays or anybody disobeys your law, throw them in the lion's den. And we come to verse number 19 of Daniel. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of the lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And I immediately thought, man, that's a dumb question to ask. God is more than able to deliver Daniel in the lion's den. And the king saw that. In verse number 21, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. In verse number 22, my God has sent his angel and have shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him an innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. So everybody there in that city, in that town, even the king, saw God's mighty power and saw God provide that miracle on behalf of Daniel. Hudson Taylor said this, there are three stages in the work of God. Impossible, difficult, and done. So if you find yourself in that position of being desperate for a miracle, you can look to Daniel. Number seven, if you find yourself desperate for faith, you can look to Mark chapter number 9. And we learned this a couple weeks ago of how this man had this son with an unclean spirit. The disciples tried to cast out this unclean spirit. They could not. In verse number Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And then verse number 24, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And I mean, haven't you been there before where you know God told you that he's going to provide for you, or God led you somewhere, and you're just asking for the faith to help you get through? I remember crying out that a lot in Bible college, like, God, you led me here. God, you called me to Bible college. God, please provide. And then he kept going back to Jeremiah, where is your faith? Do you have faith? Do you trust me that I'm going to take care of all of your needs? And I mean, praise the Lord, I graduated debt free. So amen, amen to that. Yeah. Number eight, desperate for salvation. We find that God is there for those individuals that are desperate for salvation. Do you guys remember Jonah in the belly of the whale? And how basically Jonah disobeyed God and how God allowed that whale to swallow him up. Verse number 2 of Jonah chapter 2, the Bible says, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I. And thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and all thy waves, they passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down into the bottoms of the mountain. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from the corruption, O Lord my God. Verse number 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple, that they observe thy lying vanities, forsake their own mercies. And then verse number 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Do you find yourself in that situation oftentimes where you need deliverance or you need salvation? I mean, it just seems like everyone is just pressing on you. All these things are just pressing on you. And you're like, God, save me. God, help me. God, deliver me out of the situation. Number 9, if you're desperate for change or impact, you can look to the prayer of Jabez, as Jabez was desperate to make an impact in his city. As we analyze the prayer of Jabez, Jabez didn't want any longer to rely on himself, but he wanted God to accomplish his will through Jabez. We look at 1 Chronicles 4, chapter number 10. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4, verse 10. And Jabez called on the Lord of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou would bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. I mean, can you imagine if you prayed that? God, enlarge my coast. God, enlarge my impact. God, help me to make an impact on those around me. Just a quick question. This is not a trick question. Do you believe that God would, you know, say, hey, no, I don't want you to have an impact on the people around you? Do you think that God would say that? I mean, I believe that God will enable you. I believe that God will give you the opportunity to make an impact in the lives of those around you. I remember being in Bible college and we had a ministry was called Athlete Outreach. And I mean, at first it was kind of like, I guess I was kind of suspect of it at first and whatnot. Basically, the whole gist of it is we go into high school and we work with, you know, these athletes, these football athletes. And I mean, you know, some of you meet them and probably the one pet peeve I have is, you know, you come up to, you know, a high schooler or junior high schooler and you're like, you know, you ask them like, hey, man, how are you doing? I'm good. I'm like, okay, you know, how's school going? You know, how are your grades? Good. And so there's like this wall, there's this barrier that we have to get over. And you know, just being honest, and they admitted it as well. You know, they thought I was just some runky-dunk homeschooler and this and that. You know, they had this preconceived notion of who I was. But I tell you, as we went there week after week after week, that barrier went down. And we were able to make an impact in their lives. And I remember I was there for 2 years at that high school, and I remember, you know, as graduation was approaching and as I was getting ready to leave, you know, how some of them were going on to play Division I football, and they're just saying, thank you for steering and guiding me the right way. Thank you for having that impact in my life. You know, if you ever seen inner city ministry, you know, the high school was over here, and the coach would basically drive some of them home because he didn't want across the street those gang members, all that stuff, you know, to impact their lives. And I remember leaving one game, and after the game, across the street, you see fights breaking out and so on and so forth. And I mean, that's what they have to face on a daily basis. And they have to make that choice. Do I join this gang, or do I strive to make a future for myself? And it was just amazing just having an opportunity to make that impact and help some of them choose, hey, you know what? God has a higher call in your life. God has a purpose in your life. You don't have to go down this road of gang activity, go down this road of selling drugs, all this other stuff. You can go down God's road and be blessed by God. And praise the Lord, we had the opportunity to see some of them saved. And it was just amazing to see some of them go to church, some of them involved in Bible study. And all because we prayed that God would have us let us have an opportunity to make an impact at that high school. So if you find yourself, number 10, in desperate need for strength, know that you can look to Samson. In Judges 26, verse 28, we see Samson was captured by the Philistines. And I mean, we all know the story of how he was tricked by Delilah, captured by the Philistines. In verse number 28, the Bible says this, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember thee, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two pillars upon the house which stood, and on which was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were there within. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. So if you find yourself in need of strength, know that God is there to give you that strength. And then I begin to look at aspects of desperate prayer from men of God. And really quick, just wanted to share with you David Brainerd, what he wrote in his diary regarding this desperate, persistent prayer. He wrote this, Monday, April 19th, I set apart this day for fasting and prayer to God for his grace. Accordingly, in the morning, I endeavored to plead for the divine presence for the day, and not without some life. In the forenoon, I felt the power of intercession for precious and mortal souls, for the advancement of the kingdom of my dear Lord and Savior in the Word. And with all a most sweet resignation and even consolation and joy in the thoughts of suffering hardships, distresses, and even death itself and the promotion of it. And it had special enlargement and pleading for the enlightening and conversation of the poor heathen. In the afternoon, God was with me of a truth. Oh, it was blessed company indeed. God enabled me so to agonize in prayer that I was quite wet with sweat. Though in the shade and the cool wind, my soul was drawn out very much for the world, the multitude of souls. I think I had more enlargement for sinners than for the children of God. Though I felt as though I could speak my life and cries for both, I enjoyed great sweetness and communion with my dear Savior. I think I never in my life felt such an entire weanness from this world, and so much rain to God and everything. Oh, that I may always live to and upon my blessed God. Amen and amen. Monday, June 14th, felt something of sweetness of communion with God and the constraining force of his love. How admirably it captivates the soul and makes all the desires and affections to center in God. I set apart this day for secret fasting and prayer. Had little life and power in forenoon. Near the middle of the afternoon, God enabled me to wrestle an intercession for absent friends. Just at night, the Lord visited me marvelously in prayer. I think my soul was never in such agony before. I felt no restraint, for the treasures of divine grace were open to me. I wrestled for absent friends, for the ingathering of souls, for multitude of poor souls, and for many that I thought were the children of God. I was in such agony from some half an hour high till near dark that I was all wet with sweat. But yet it seemed to me that I had wasted away the day and had done nothing. Then he goes on to say, Oh, my dear sweet Jesus, sweat blood for our poor souls. I long for more compassion toward them. Fetz felt still in a sweet frame under a sense of divine love and grace and went to bed in such a frame with my heart set on God. And, you know, just be honest with you, that's what powerful, that's what persistent, that's what desperate prayer does to you. I mean, it just causes you to lie on the bosom of God and to hear his heartbeat. So as we close tonight, I just want to leave you with this. Do you find yourself discouraged in prayer? Do you find yourself praying for something where it just seems like God is not answering? And you find yourself just knocking and knocking and knocking, and God has not answered yet. Just want to leave you with these thoughts. Number one, God still is all powerful. Number two, God is still Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Number three, God is still El Royale, the God who sees your need. Number four, God is still El Shaddai, your all-sufficiency. He's still your Elyon, the Most High God. He's still the Great I Am. He's still Jehovah Im Kadesh, your sanctification. He is still Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, your banner. He is still Jehovah Rohi, the Lord, your shepherd. He's still Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, your healer. He is still Jehovah Shema. He is ever present with you. He is still Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, your peace. He is still Jehovah Tizkenu, the Lord, your righteousness. He is still the one who refreshes our tired bodies and restore our tired souls. He is still our deliverer. He is still the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is still the one who is before all things, and your problem is not a surprise to God. He is still the way maker. He is still the one who works wonders. He is still the one who gives victory in battle. He is still the name above every name. He is still the King of Kings. He's still head over every power and authority. He's still the one who has rejoices over you with singing. He is still the one who takes great delight in you. And he's still mighty to save. That's who our God is. And if you find yourself discouraged in prayer, realize who your God is. So as we close, just want to leave you with these five things by way of application. Number one, God answers desperate and persistent prayer. And then going along with this, that persistence shows desperation and dependence on God. Number two, prayers are often not answered because we aren't persistent. We aren't consistent. Number three, God is able. He won't fail. Jesus never fails. Number four, God is always accessible, even at midnight, even at 2 a.m, even in the middle of the day. God is always accessible. And then number five, God is always good, gracious, faithful, and caring. Really quick, look over to verse number 9 of Luke chapter number 11. The Bible says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" And just think about in your life, really quick, how good God has been. And to think about how many prayers that you have offered to God that he's answered. God is a good God. And we don't deserve to even be here. We don't deserve to even pray to him. But I want to leave you with this verse. The Bible says, "If you seek me, you shall find me. If you search with all your heart." If you are persistent, if you are constant, if you are desperate in prayer, God will hear you. He's listening. And he just wants you to keep knocking. He wants you to keep praying, keep knocking, keep praying, keep knocking. You may get weary, you may get discouraged, but he wants you to keep praying, keep knocking, keep praying, keep knocking. How many guys have ever seen Finding Nemo? You know how Dory is, keep swimming, keep swimming, keep swimming. Just keep praying, just keep praying, just keep praying. Man, 20 years down the road, you're still praying for that same old thing. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying, because God, he is able. And what is he able to do? Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God is a miracle working God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you so much for your love. And I thank you so much, Lord, that you show us, that you teach us how to pray. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be persistent, that you would help us to be shameless, that you would help us to be desperate in our prayers. Lord, knowing that you're the only one that's able to meet them. And Lord, I pray that you would just enlarge our coast, that you would help us to share with this world the gospel of Jesus Christ, God. Lord, this world is going to hell in a handbasket. And Lord, I pray that you would use us to intercede for them, that you would use us to share your wonderful news unto them. We love you, Lord, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.